Today's episode of TMS is brought to you by HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com, where we can save you $35 for your first week of deliveries by using the code TMS at checkout. That's HelloFresh.com and the code TMS. Coming up on TMS, Home from the Desert.
Them film critics really liked a lot of movies.
Let's Make Another Murderer next season.
Fathering 800 children.
That's a lot. Listening to this rant.
Major spoilers.
V for Video Games, we think, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The answers can be found in the MTV video games.
This is a nice fish.
Scott Johnston and Brian Ibbotson doing? You know those guys got talent. This is The Morning Stream.
You know, that Fletcher intro is the most, like, you have to know the show to get any of it. Like,
right, it's like, so insidey jokey.
It's like four references that you wouldn't know if this was your first episode listening
and
to
it's
the
not,
show.
Yeah, right, and that even originated with a thing from the Daily Source Code from... you know, like 2005.
Yeah. Well, it was. And then
it was Adam Curry saying, "And what's up with MC Hammer? You know the guy's got talent."
Yeah, right here.
"And what's MC Hammer doing? You know the guy's got talent."
That's right. What is MC Hammer doing?
MC Hammer is certainly not a role model that we as Christians should emulate.
Oh, okay. Well, we've cleared that up then. I'm glad we had this little talk. It's Monday. It is the 18th of January. It's 2016. Jeez, Scott, hold still. Don't jump 2 years ahead. What are you doing? We're here to talk to you, the fine people of the TMS audience. If it's your first show, I apologize. If it's your, if you've kept going, then it's your problem. It's your disease.
That's right. Exactly.
Own it. Speaking of diseases, Brian went with one and came home with one and went to Vegas, and you're home now. Yay.
And I'm guessing it's the same one. I mean, I mentioned this before the show, but Vegas is certainly not the place to go if you're trying to get rid of a virus. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a clean room.
You never have a doctor go, you know, you're ill. The best thing really for you is to go spend a weekend in Vegas. They don't say that.
Exactly. You know what you need.
Mm-hmm. A little time on the strip. That'll take care of it. That'll clear you right up.
Exactly. But it was, you know, I mean, and it's more, it's less that I think that Vegas is a festering slime hole of proportions or whatever. It's funny. There was a guy on the strip dressed as a Jedi. So we went out there with Corinne and Jason. We hang out with them every year at NerdTech, and we're like, let's go do something that's not, you know, not Nerdtacular stress week. Let's go out and just have, you know, go on vacation. And they're like, well, we've been talking about going to Vegas. And I'm like, I've been wanting to go there.
Let's go to Vegas.
Good things.
Yeah, you've heard stuff about you wanted to dip your toe in that pool for a long time.
Right, exactly. So we're walking down the strip, and I lean over to Jason. We see this guy dressed as a Jedi carrying a pair of lightsabers, which, you know, say, come on, that's not movie accurate. And I lean over to Jason and say, "You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy."
Accurate.
Yes.
Or acriate, as DJ Khalid
Ultra
would say.
Acriate.
Yeah.
That was actually the same walk we had along the strip. It was the same time that we got approached by yet another. It's the stripper salesman, or the strip club barkers.
Oh, the hustler guys that are trying to get you in there.
Exactly. And we've talked about cities in your mouth before on the show, and the girls with daddy issues that were both yelled to Don and I a few years ago when we were out there.
Yeah.
This one, this time it was sweaty big fake boobs.
Oh.
Was what he was trying to entice us with.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
In that terminology?
In that terminology, that order, which I thought was, you know, I think grammatically... big sweaty fake boobs, and he really didn't say boobs. He used a different word for them.
Hold on a minute.
And he followed that. So it was the four of us walking. It was, you know, me and Tina and Corinne and Jason walking down the strip, and we were clustered together. He could tell that there were that we were in a group, and he said, "Hey, big sweaty," or I'm sorry, "sweaty big fake boobs. It's couples night." Like, you know, like first of all, the enticement, the word sweaty, I think, was the turnoff.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing.
What have they been doing? Why are they sweaty?
I'm really bothered by this being selling points. Like, what barrel are you scraping the bottom of? Where those are your that's your pitch.
That's your sales word, right? Those are your that's your elevator pitch.
That's
right?
A terrible
You've
pitch.
You've got 7 seconds as these people pass you.
Yeah,
and
it's like a Best Buy guy standing out going, "Come on in for broken shit and TVs that don't work."
Exactly.
Why would they? That's
TVs
so weird.
With missing knobs right here tonight. Come on, it's couples night.
They're probably going to short out. I know the screen's flipping. There's no vertical hold. Come on
big
in.
Fat CRT tubes. Come on down. Sweaty, big sweaty CRT tubes.
And it wasn't just at you. It was at anyone on the road there, right?
Well,
on
yeah.
The,
I mean, there were, you know, we were in a
throng.
We weren't alone. There were people around us, but he was targeting us and kind of, you know, even followed us for a second to see if, well, these people look like the word sweaty will entice them into...
Yeah, that's really weird. It's for real, that guy needs to either be either their pitch. Okay, I don't know who to place the blame on. Like, I right. feel like they need to talk to their sidewalk dude and inform him that big, fake, and sweaty are bad monikers right. for the boobs he's describing.
Right, exactly. And like, you know what? He's out there all day long. He probably gets to. He gets to fire off a lot of arrows and see which ones actually hit the target. So maybe it's, you know, he's just trying some things out. He's trying out some new material. Let's try. You know what, Bill? Thursday, I'm going to try sweaty. Let's see if
see what happens.
Maybe we've been going about this all wrong.
Yeah. J.K. Grammer says glitter sweat for the win. Yeah. There's a lot of glitter in Vegas. It
smells like sweat and vanilla in here.
Why wouldn't you say big, beautiful women with lovely, I don't know what you'd say. Either way, it's seedy. It's seedy no matter how you look at it, I
exactly.
guess. You know? Exactly. It doesn't matter what you color up. So maybe I should embrace this guy as being just, you know, straight up honest.
I think so, yeah. It's I just don't know why those alone would be sweaty.
Why can't there be a men's strip club like a Chippendales with a lady out front who's like, come on in and almost get a glimpse of a guy's sweaty, disgusting testicle lumps.
Right, exactly. Doesn't seem like it goes the other direction, does it? We never, ever. And they have clubs out there that are
sure
naked men's clubs. And you never see women on the strip. Hey,
come see someone's artificially enlarged, disgusting unit.
Axe-covered dudes with 11 IQ and who'll thrust vacantly into your face with a cold, dead look on theirs.
They're unhappy people. Come on in. All right, today's show title is Axe-covered dudes.
Axe-covered dudes. Yeah. That's probably the only thing out of that last little bit that... we'd be able to use. So we're flying out there, right? Tina and I are flying.
Yeah, on a plane.
On a plane out there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, God, you know, I sound like probably, because I was still in the thick of the cold. I sound bad today. I really don't feel as bad as I sound.
Yeah, you're on the, I can tell you're on that end
this
of
is
it.
The upswing.
Where people are worried they're going to catch it from you, but really are not contagious anymore. You're just in the aftermath. Yeah,
exactly. But I do sound on the plane like probably the worst person you'd want to sit next to on the plane. Mm-hmm. I think I even mentioned that on Thursday's show.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, we get in the seats, we, get our, you know, magazines out. I get out my iPad. I'm starting to read Entertainment Weekly, listening to, Apple Music. That's the cool thing about Southwest, by the way, is if you're listening to Apple Music, you can actually use their Wi-Fi for free. You don't have to pay the $8 to get full Wi-Fi.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Really slick.
That's like, a nice little deal, yeah. That's pretty
good. Yeah, they actually don't even, you know, you don't even have to have Apple Music installed on your device. You can access it through their...
The headphone
that
business.
Comes up, yeah, as soon as you turn on your device. It's
really
cool.
Do they still, is it still just come on and get a seat? Like, no?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So and they put you in order. So, I mean, you know, as the sooner you check in, you can pay a little bit extra to get early bird seating, like $15. And then you can get onto the plane sooner than the other people. And even with checking in 24 hours in advance, exactly when the site clicked over to where I could log in.
Yeah.
And paying the $15 early bird fee, we still got number 58 and 59 in the A group. There's A, B, and C. So there were 57 people who got to pick seats before Tina and I. And I think it's because...
So it's not just going... I haven't been on Southwest in so long. It's not just go in, take a seat, and everyone just... You just keep stacking until the thing's full.
Right.
It's you go in and take the one you want.
Exactly. Okay. But there are going to be people before you who take the one they want before you do.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's... So when you check in for Southwest online or when you show up at the airport, there is a letter and a number on your ticket. And it's A, B, and C. And then it goes the numbers from 1 to 60 in each of those letters. So yeah. A1 through 60, B1 through 60, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so in the gate area, they've got these little stands that say 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 15. And they say, okay, everybody with an A, go line up with your number. And you basically, it's kind of fun. It's like a little icebreaker at a cocktail party. You go in, you
get in a little group. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And you find the other people who are between the two signs that your number's between. Say, oh, what do you have? I've got 56. I've got 57. Oh, well, you're in front of me then. Oh, 59, you're behind me. Stuff like that. And then you just march single file.
Just like right a bunch of cattle. Yep. Yep.
Exactly, and find your seat. Tina's smart about this because she's like, yeah, I'll take the middle seat, Brian. You can have the aisle in case you need to stand up for your tailbone. And so she looks
Brian for, always stands up for his tailbone.
That's right. Yeah. I stand for the tailbone.
Yeah.
So Tina looks, rather than saying, oh, here's an empty row, let's take this one. She actually looks for somebody in the window seat who looks like they're going to be a good passenger to be next to.
Interesting. Okay.
So she's like, oh, that girl's sitting there reading. She's small. She's not taking up a lot of space. She's not like, you know, hanging over the armrest and or with these, you know, crazy eyes staring out like, oh, who's going to sit next to me? No, she's reading a book. She's going to come. So we sit down next to her.
Yeah.
And all is good.
Yeah.
And that way also, since we want the middle in the aisle, we don't have to get up again when somebody wants that window.
Oh, gotcha. Sure.
So it's smart. Tina's smart about this.
Yeah, I like this. She's like my wife. Very practical. Very pragmatic.
So they load all the B and C passengers, and then they seal the door.
Yeah.
And looking at my iPad, reading Entertainment Weekly, Tina's got her nose in a book, and we start taking off.
Yeah.
And then there's this smell.
Oh, no.
This, like, what the hell? Like, somebody couldn't get this out of their system before we got on the plane.
Oh, it's like they cracked off a big fart?
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, and it could be anyone around, and I'm kind of doing the whole look around because you're like you're going to see somebody who looks obvious like the one who did it. You're never going to see that.
Sure.
Right? They all kind of look. And it's got this kind of weird, like, soupy smell to
it.
Oh, like,
gosh.
Like minestrone kind of thing.
Yeah.
I look over at Tina, and she's looking at me like, yeah, somebody is evil. And I pull one of my headphones out of my ears like, God, somebody's just evil who does something like this, right?
Sure.
She's like, yeah. And so... I'm like, oh, that's so horrible. I kind of keep looking around, and I look across the aisle to the other three seats on the left side of me.
Okay, because you're on the aisle seat. I'm getting
on
this
the
in
aisle
my head.
Seat.
All right.
And, you know, there's the dude who's sitting there. He's got a little ThinkPad. He's already, you know, he's already using his little finger on the nub eraser that sticks out in the middle of the keyboard that I can't believe was ever a thing.
Or that it still exists. It's ridiculous.
Still exists.
Yeah.
And then next to him is a woman who is... eating out of a metal army can. Like, basically, it's like a thermos, but it's not a modern thermos or a thermos that you'd see coming out of a kid's lunchbox. It is like silver cylinder, nondescript cylinder, and she's eating soup.
Did it say beefaroni on the outside, and did someone yell Rusty in the middle of it?
Might as well have. And then I realize, oh, yeah, the smell, I guess it does kind of just smell like soup.
Stinky eaters on planes, they are the worst.
It's funny though, because as soon as you smell something that's not normal plane smell, you immediately assume, oh, that's got to be somebody's farting. What the hell? Who did this? And then it's like, oh, I guess it actually is soup. I'm not smelling. And that's, it makes it a lot better, right? Because it's like, oh, once you think that this came out of somebody's body and it smells like soup, it's a horrible thing that you're like, I don't want any of this, these microorganisms that are causing the smell to go up my nose.
Right, because you're sure, on the way in, there's something less offensive about it.
Right, but then once you realize it really is soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this smells pretty good.
Yeah, you're like, isn't that weird? That's a weird psychology, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What a weird thing about
us. Exactly the same smell as it was 2 minutes ago, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, all right, that's good.
Well, you could have somebody, okay, let me give you another example. If somebody cracked one off and it smelled like lovely vanilla and, you know, like no big deal, you'd go, oh, what's that lovely smell? And someone said, really nice. Sorry, I have this condition where I just can't stop farting and it always smells like vanilla.
Exactly.
You would immediately be like, oh my gosh, that's disgusting. It smells like vanilla.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. It would go from being this like enticing, nice thing into this horrible thing.
Yeah, not a bad idea there, thrower bot. It's a good Therapy Thursday segment. Why is it?
Why is it? Exactly.
Why does beef stew smell good unless it's coming out of your A? On the next Therapy Thursday. All right. A couple more things. One more thing. Sure. Well, two more things. So all of the soft covers for the books, for the MyExtraLife.com Definitive Edition books, have shipped. So they are gone and out the door. What we are left with is some extras and some scratch and dents, which we are going to we're going to put on the store. They're actually up there now. So if you go to frogpants.com/store, they're there now. And this is not hard covers because those are still shipping to people. We want them to still get theirs before we put any of those up.
But if you haven't ordered one and you want one.
Yeah, if you want a soft cover, they're available now on the store. You can go there now and get them. Also, pins and some of the extra stuff is there. We wanted to make sure all Kickstarter supporters on the soft cover level got their stuff first. Then those are available, right? Same thing will happen with hard covers. There'll be some extra hard covers after the hard covers all ship, assuming that we're left with any. We should be. We should have some left. And if there's enough demand, we'll make more anyway. But the point is, today, right now, frogpants.com/store, if you missed the Kickstarter and were like, I want one of these, now's your chance. Here's the other thing.
All right.
I thought this was interesting. It came up right before the show. We'll tear through it so we can get to Daryl real quick. But I always wondered this. Like, we know Netflix is in a ton of countries now, right?
Right.
What I didn't know is, how does it stack up? Who has the most content?
And right, because you don't think about it, but not every, they're not all created equal. Like what's available in the U.S. is not necessarily available in Japan, for example.
Correct. Like TV shows are going to be different, movies and so many, stuff like that.
Sure.
So here is the count right now, highest to lowest, and I'll give you the top, 10, and then the bottom one, it'll surprise you, the bottom few will surprise you.
Okay.
USA, by far and away, has the most, 5,760 titles. And they, some come in, some go out, but that's generally the average. 5,760. Canada's next with 3,606. So they have
2,000 less.
Pretty
more
much.
More than 2,000 less than the USA.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
That is.
And when you say 1,000's a lot, it's like 1,100. It's like 1,100 difference. And
1,200.
Or 12, 1,200.
I'm sorry. 2,100.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Third place. With just about 100 less than Canada, Argentina, then Brazil with 3,500, Mexico 3,500, Colombia 3,526, the UK only has 2,990.
Which is almost half of what the USA has.
That's correct. Ireland with 2,984.
I know there's six movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's probably a bunch of movies difference between the two, but six movies less in Ireland than in the UK.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Damn it! We're always getting screwed. Let's see. If you go down to then there's a bunch of European stuff, Norway, Finland, blah, 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 blah. Down toward the bottom, these bottom ones surprise me. So Poland at 780. These are all the sub-1,000s, okay?
Right.
Poland, 783. Mm-hmm. Portugal, 767. India, 751. Russia at 734. And the lowest, South Korea with 664. I thought they were a great ally of the U.S. Why did they have so few?
What would be your cutoff point? Like, what would you look at this list and, if you lived in one of these other countries, whereabouts would you say, it's not enough for me to subscribe? It's not enough for me to pay X amount of dollars per month to have access if I'm only going to have access to 1,291 movies, for example.
I'd say 2,000 is my cutoff.
2,000 is your cutoff?
2,000 and up. Anything lower than that feels like a yank. But then again, there's no other, if there's no comparable services or there's no other reasonable way to to be an unplugger of sorts, maybe you don't have a choice. But yes, I'd say about 2,000 would be my cutoff. Mm-hmm. And most of these, let's see, Belgium is the last one with 2,000 at 2,037. Then you get Luxembourg, Netherlands, and France. I'm surprised France, Germany. Like, there's a lot of, like, Western countries I expected to have more. And maybe the licensing is just too big of a pain, or maybe localization's a big pain. The Germans, we want to have it all in Deutsch, speaking in the Deutschland language. Is that what they say? That's how they say
That's exactly what they say.
Okay.
Maybe we don't want Schindler's List on our...
Yeah, perhaps this is a reminder of things we are not proud of.
Maybe we don't want the producers on our streaming service.
Yeah. We will take some more Django. You have Django.
Anyway, so there's that. I just thought it was interesting. I found that on Gizmodo.com, so you can go find that for yourselves.
Cool.
Let's
go to UK even. Wow.
Oh, yeah. And that surprised me too. I thought the UK would be like second. But it makes sense, I guess, Canada. I don't know, because we're connected. Is that why? Right. We're all one piece of the same flesh.
I think it really just has to do with licensing. And when a movie studio says, all right, yeah, you can have this on streaming services for this amount of money. And they say, okay, how many countries can we put this in? Well, for this amount of money, just USA. Or if you want to pay a little bit more, we'll let you do it in 11 markets or 15 markets or something like
that's
that.
That's a fair point. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Watching the Council of Ricks with your whole family.
So last night, we were... Taylor and Dylan were over, and that meant no Heroes of the Storm for me or anything else. But that's fine. You know, family time. We're hanging out. Mm-hmm. And the kids all decided they wanted to watch Rick and Morty. So we watched Rick and Morty, the Council of Ricks episode. And I just have to say that is a fine way to spend your time with your family. What a great thing that is. Although I recommend they all be 15 and older.
Yeah.
For that show.
Yeah.
You don't want your little kids watching that show.
No, there's
content.
There's content, yeah.
It's violent, sometimes shocking, sometimes very sexual, sometimes... It's just... It's not made for kids. That show's for teenagers and up. That's just the way it is. And it's fantastic.
And some things will never change.
I did play that Rick and Morty game. Have you played that at all yet? The Rick and Morty capture all the Mortys game?
No.
Pocket Mortys?
Oh, is that an iOS?
Yeah, it's great. It's basically Pokemon, except you're Rick, and you're going around the different dimensions finding all the other Mortys, and you're collecting all the Mortys.
Really? Oh, yeah. I love it. I'll have to check that out.
The first Morty I fought was Mustache Morty, and the only difference was he had a mustache.
Fantastic.
It really is good. And it's got their voice work, and it's awesome.
I love it. I'm all over it. Next chance I get.
And it's free. Daryl, speaking of free and easy, it's Daryl Skeels. He is the Trek Nerd, and he's on the line with us now. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
How's life in the Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Day there at the office? How's that going?
It's the same as every other day.
Did you guys...
Is it quieter there? Like, is it... are there people who say, I'm taking this day off even though you're not giving it to me?
Yeah, I ain't coming in.
Not really.
How come the government gets it off, but I have to come in here and do work?
I'm sure they all sound like that.
Exactly.
Is Janice from accounting in the break room right now going, I have a cake! And so everybody has to go have a cake day.
Yeah, you have a cake.
Yeah.
That happens, but it's a little early today so far.
You will come in here and get some cake. Did she say that? No? All right.
I've been to the mountaintop.
And there was
brought
cake.
Down yellow cake with dream whip frosting.
Oh, Janice. Always trying to spruce up these little moments. Events, she's great. Sure. She's really great. Her and Carol. Carol from, what's Carol in?
HR.
HR. Carol in HR and Janice from accounting. All right, Daryl, let's, that was somebody's bingo card, Janice from accounting. Congratulations.
Well done.
Daryl, let's get to your Star Trekking question here. Let's do it. It's, I got to play mashup. Ah, frick, I didn't get any of this stuff ready. Hold on a second. Okay, here's the mashup first. This is from Mike. He makes these now. So here's this. We got to play this. Here you go.
Like Inception.
It is. Darylception. Darylception. Wait.
Darylception.
Skillception. There you go. Got it. Coined
now
it.
You found it.
I am enjoying a Woodford Estates three fingers with a giant ice ball. Did I ever tell you about the time I worked in a distillery and
drink at all, and they fired me.
The rest of them, like, licking the bottom of a toilet. They were all bad. So mango, which I usually don't like because mango tastes like hairspray to me.
And I don't like mangoes by themselves. Like, I love pineapple by itself, but I like mango better with other stuff than I do by itself. Yeah, I think a mango by itself tastes like hairspray.
Ice worm, calm down.
He must have found a newer hairspray reference and then an old one.
Exactly, like your mango callback.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well done.
Kind of freaked me out. And also, my mic sounded different. Maybe I was doing something different then. All right, well, it doesn't matter because the time is nigh, Daryl. The time is nigh to answer your question about Star Trek The Next Generation, which, by the way, has been keeping me company while I did a bunch of artwork over the weekend. Just had that playing in the background. Every once in a while, check, look up, see what Worf's all pissed about. It's great.
Somebody without honor, I'm guessing.
Oh, always someone without honor. Oh, yeah. Daryl, did you have a chance to play that that Star Trek game, the iOS, the mobile game?
Oh, yeah, I did. I played some of that.
I kind of like it. I got into it a little deeper. It's interesting. Here's the big hook on
it,
right?
We're not talking about the Puzzle Quest Star Trek.
No, there's a brand new one. Just came out, and it's like, send your dudes on missions, and oh, there's a fight in space. So here we are fighting in space, and Q voices the whole thing.
Oh, really?
So what he's done is Q has come, John Delancey has come and said, oh, so you believe, you think this world's normal, do you? Well, and he changes everything. So he switches up all the dimensions, right? Speaking of Rick and Morty. And it's got Kirk and Sisko and Spock and Picard and Janeway.
Really?
Everybody's in it. They can be in the same teams. I've got Sulu, Janeway, and Kirk rolling together. And they're going on missions and stuff.
Oh, I'm liking this. All right, I'm going to have to find it.
It's super, in some ways, it's like kind of, oh, I don't know how to explain it. In some ways, I'll say it this way. It captures the spirit of Star Trek in two ways. One, the adventurous spirit of it, and the kind of also blandness that it can sometimes represent. I don't mean that it's boring. I mean that it's like, oh, who would be better at this diplomatic conversation with this planetary guy? Should you send Janeway, who has had some experience with this, or should Worf go in more blunt force and blah, blah, blah? And then some of the art is real weird. Like, their faces are very accurate, but then their body's a little weird, like cartoony and painted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I recommend it.
I'm picking up Star Trek Timelines, I guess.
I think that's the one. Yeah. And the whole time you've got Q going, oh, you think you've solved the problem, did you? Well, guess what? My hand is crusty and you all shake it. Blah, 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 blah.
Can you make change?
No, I'm sorry, it's $35. Get out of here.
There's pay stuff in there too.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, it's a free to play game. It's got all that, but you can play it pretty much without paying.
Timelines.
It's interesting. I kind of like it. I'm playing it on the Pro, the iPad Pro, which is where I kind of prefer those kind of games now.
Yeah, right.
They're just, I don't know. I'm getting older, easier to see.
Kirk seems to be very good at a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, man. Kirk is like a heroic character for sure.
I'm using him for everything. Yeah. Does he get tired or something? Because he's going to poop out pretty soon.
I don't know if they have fatigue or not. I don't know how that works. I use him, though, almost on all my missions. I have Sulu out doing stuff a lot. I think I have Sisko hanging around doing something. Anyway, and you can get legendary dudes and stuff, but it's just funny that they decided to mash up all these universes.
Well, it feels like, so along the same lines as that Star Wars one, right? The Star Wars collect them all kind of thing.
Oh, it's similar to that. Yeah.
All that stuff kind of along the same lines.
Yeah, exactly.
The Marvel one's going to be about the same thing, Marvel Avengers Alliance, once it's released here.
Yeah, because can't you, in the Star Wars one, you can eventually, at some point, you can have, you know, Vader rolling with Chewbacca or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super weird.
All right. Cool.
Super weird. Oh, if you want to see a funny comic strip today, I like what I did. Go to myextralife.com, and the latest one is Star Wars related. It's a total dad joke, but I don't care. Made me laugh. All right, Daryl, your question. Here it is. In the Next Generation episode, When the Bow Breaks, a young boy is running down the halls of the Enterprise. Are they called halls? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He is running away from his calculus class, like I did in high school. I ran right to the mall. That's what I used to do when calculus was going. He eventually runs right into Commander Riker. What is the name of this boy? Is his name James, Aaron, Timothy, or Harry?
Harry.
Give us some Rickman. I miss Alan Rickman. I need to hear Brian do it. Say, Harry.
Harry, yeah. Why are you running from your calculus class?
Now, all right, listen.
Get upstairs and get me those detonators.
I have heard, I watched yesterday that clip from the Tonight Show where Jimmy Fallon and Benedict Cumberbatch are having a Rickman off. They're both doing Rickman impressions. They do not even come close to your Rickman impression.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm not kidding. And everyone's like so amazed in that audience. Oh, this just like it. I'm like, no. I know a sick guy in Vegas right now that could out-Rickman both of you. It's amazing to me. Bring me those detonators. All right. So, Daryl, there's your thing. James, Aaron.
An awful lot about us.
James, Aaron, Timothy, and Harry are your options. But before you answer it, you're going to tell us today in Star Trek history. By the way, I feel like that's what Shatner does when you click on him in that game. He says, like, or something.
Yeah, that's always something from an old show. Cool.
Yeah, it's great. They have sound clips from everybody's work. It's really good. It's super dumb. I mean, think about what it represents. And you'd have to have Q sort of running the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But to mash up every series, like, here we see Quark and Captain Janeway.
I think it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I actually kind of prefer it.
At first, I thought it was dumb and kind of boring and stupid. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, well, stupid, that's what TMS is. So why can't this be great, too?
Yes, see?
Right.
That's right, Daryl. Never forget, never surrender.
So I'm liking it.
All right, good. All right, tell us your today in Trek history. What happened?
Okay, on this day in 2012, it was the second day of filming of Into Darkness.
Oh, Into Darkness, the one that was not about Khan until it came out and was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the second day of filming, J.J. Abrams said, all right, let's tell everybody this isn't about Khan.
Yeah, and then they said, okay. You curly-haired, glasses-wearing wonder of a man. We'll do whatever you want. Superman. I don't know why I just said Superman. All right, so let's move on from that historic event and back to this deal here. What do you think? James, Aaron, Timothy, Harry. Have you been in an accident? Call the law firm of James, Aaron, Timothy, and Harry. What do you think? What rings a bell?
Well, what first rang a bell was Harry. When the bell breaks, isn't this the one where? I'm having a bad name day. The guy with the stripes and he's a kid and he's Wesley Crusher. Yeah, that guy.
Oh, Wesley Crusher. Wow.
You know the guy with the stripes.
Yeah, the guy with the stripes.
Those stripes on his lapels.
Yeah.
He gets kidnapped with a bunch of kids or something to this alien planet, and he's in charge of the kids and tries to escape or something. I think it's a season one thing.
He becomes the leader.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's the oldest.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah, they were all little kids, littlest kids.
Don't cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that too, I think.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And he said it to Harry. That's why I'm thinking it's Harry.
Oh, you think it's Harry?
I think that's James, Aaron, Timothy. No, I don't think it's any of those.
They sound like Bible chapters, don't they?
Yeah. The book of Timothy.
The first book of Harry. All right, well, let's So you think Harry, is that what you're settling?
I shouldn't stray from my first thought, so I guess I'll just hold tight and hope it's right.
All right, hold tight and hope it's right. I like that. That's a good phrase, a good motto for your whole segment all the time. Here's the, let's find out. Judges, is it?
Congratulations.
It is, it totally is.
You're a winner.
He is totally, and is also very much from season one. He runs into Riker in this episode, some children from the Enterprise are kidnapped. Wesley protects them, and Picard tries to get them to be released. Here's a clip of Harry running into Riker. You got my chocolate and your peanut butter. There you go.
Harry, oh. Harry, come back here.
What's your hurry, Harry?
Sorry, Commander. I'm just
scared. Harry!
I'm sorry if he bothered you.
No bother, Dr. Bernard.
That music makes me want to get an axe and go crazy.
Well, I don't blame you. It's pretty bad. They were never good with kids. Let's remember that. Star Trek does not know how to do it. Yeah. They never had people either. They either didn't have children or they didn't know what they were doing with children. It's just they right. don't know what to do.
They just can't write children.
No.
It's and they probably modeled Picard's whole perspective on children after their own writers.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think he, yes, perfectly well said. And I don't think they ever got past that. It was never. No. Like, Star Trek will never be known for that. Like, you could look at Star Wars and say they understand the role of children. Even Jake Lloyd, who was terrible in that, they understand kids better than Star Trek does. Other science fiction does a better job with kids. But Star Trek, terrible. It's like kids don't exist in that world.
Right. Yeah.
They're faking it. Like, here's a child.
This is what we think children look like and act like.
He is a boy. He walks down the hall and says things. Like, they don't get it. The nuance is lost. Daryl, good job. You started the week off with a powerful entry into the world of Star Trek trivia. Tomorrow you get to try to do it again. He is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there or at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a little game with us, one which we have no idea what it is. So what is it?
Okay. Well, since Iceworm no longer asks TOS questions, I will ask some.
All right.
Ooh, okay.
And these are ones that I think he should ask me because I'm either unsure or I've forgotten. Or...
All right.
Okay.
Here's your theme. Okay, go ahead.
Wow. Okay. Salt shakers were used as medical instrument props on the show. Were they... Wait, say, am I saying this right? Well, you got to do your little thingy before I ask.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know, your hay or whatever.
Well, he gave you a theme.
Yeah, I always give you a theme.
Oh, gosh, but it's usually between the question and the question.
Oh, that's why. Okay, I'll give you another one then. Here's one. There you go.
Wait. In your world, you do the setup and then we play a drop in and then you ask the question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine, I'll give you another one. All right.
That is how it goes.
Oh, well, you do the setup, meaning you tell us like the theme, like B resin or Star Trek character.
Usually I say
B resin.
B resin.
I love that you just yanked that out of the sky. That was great. That's amazing.
Yeah, usually I say Trek or bees.
Right.
And then I say, you're right.
You're telling us about salt shakers and stuff like that. I think.
Yeah, it's all weird now.
Yeah, it is weird.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
So now I almost have to start over again, but I won't. Medical scanner or laser scalpel? Which one of those was represented on the show by a salt shaker, a real-life salt shaker?
It had to be scanner, the medical scanner, right? Because it would always look like a little salt shaker.
Yeah, they'd hold it above the body and stuff. I can't imagine, like a scalpel?
Yeah, you go, woo, 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 woo. They go, all right, Captain, it looks like he's got a gerbil in his bum. What do we do? Like that.
Right. I think scanner. I'm going with scanner as well.
I like scanner. One more theme. I haven't got to play these in a while, so that's fun. we think medical scanner because the other thing, I mean, they were always shaped like that. Either this is so obvious and Daryl's like yanking us because it turns out it is surgical and we just are going with the obvious thing, but I feel like it's a scanner.
Okay, well, these came from a Danish company called Stelten, and on the show, these salt shakers were used as laser scalpels.
Oh, geez. Damn it. And they're really salt shakers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's dumb. I think that's dumb. Hey, Brian, I think that's dumb.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's time for the news brought to you by...
Keymailer. Whether you're a casual streamer or a YouTube superstar, Keymailer makes it easy for content creators to request and receive keys for Steam games to showcase on their channels. Go to keymailer.co and sign up now.
Yeah, if you take it from... I'm in one of those categories. I would call myself a casual streamer.
You are a casual streamer.
And I can tell you it works great, and they've sent me many keys, and they're great. I like them
a lot. That's a great way to do it, too. Yeah.
Good way to support Terpster, too. It's his little side job thing, side project.
He needs support.
Yeah, he does.
He's sagging.
He needs to wear a bra, and you can help him.
It's a man's here, Jerry.
Brian, can you read that headline?
I have all the power.
So I can then discuss it.
Mad Max, Fury Road, and 45 Years triumph at the London Film Critics Circle Awards.
Thank you very much. And key omissions in the BAFTA nominations. If that gave you any idea that the Brits had a little love for Mad Max, Fury Road, and 45 Years, think again. I don't know what 45 Years is. What is that?
I don't know what 45 Years is either. That's funny because that didn't even make a mark at the in the Oscar nomination.
Yeah. I hadn't even heard of it. It must be a British thing. I don't know.
Kate Mercer and her husband are excitedly planning a party to celebrate their 45th wedding anniversary. 1 week before the celebration, a letter arrives for her husband. The body of his first love has been discovered frozen in the icy glaciers of the Swiss Alps. As the party nears, there might not be a marriage left to celebrate.
What? Her body's in the Swiss Alps?
Yeah.
45 years is also a long time. They must be old people. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
45 married years. That's a lot.
This is the one with Charlotte Rampling that I think has been mentioned in the like the best actress category at the Oscars.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does sound kind of, it's intriguing.
Intriguing.
I'm very intrigued. Well, anyway, at the annual award ceremony this evening, the London Film Critics Circle. This is a highly regarded group of hoo-has, right, doing their thing,
right.
Fortuitously righted a number of the British Academy wrongs, most prominently by handing George Miller his first Best Director award for his beautifully deranged action spectacle, and honored it Film of the Year and Director of the Year.
Cool.
In doing so, they echo the verdict of such U.S. groups as the National Board of Review critics in Chicago, San Diego, Kansas City, and more, further burnishing the prestige credentials of the 10-time Academy Award nominee, surely the year's most improbable Oscar success story. Fury Road also shared a third award, as leading man Tom Hardy won British Actor of the Year for his body of work in 2015, which include a turn in Legend, The Revenant, and London Road. My son, I guess he's my son-in-law. I don't like talking in terms of old guy stuff, but my Dylan, daughter's awesome rad husband, who's way young and... Quit calling me
You're
old.
You're so old with a son-in-law.
They saw The Revenant this weekend and loved it.
Yeah, that's we're seeing it this weekend for sure. It's, basically we start at the top, whatever has the most nominations, and then work our way down. So Revenant, and we've already seen the other film, which we've already mentioned, Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, we've already seen
The Martian. Yeah. Then it'll be Spotlight, Bridge of Spies as we make our way down the list.
I want to see Bridge of Spies pretty bad. Oh, Dad's Important Movie Night. You know how I do those, you know?
Dad's Important, yeah, right.
We finally got the kids sat down and watched Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, that's a good one. What'd they think?
They loved it.
Yeah.
Carter thinks it's in her top three movies ever made now. She got real excited. She loves that whole... style. I mean, they're big Coen Brothers freaks anyway.
Sure.
But that movie holds up and is just as awesome as ever, and people should see it if you haven't. It's on HBO Now right now. It's on there.
Cool.
If you have that, you can get it right there.
To see it.
Anyway.
And you know, it'll whet your appetite for the new Coen Brothers Clooney business that just came out.
Hail Caesar? Is that the
Hail
one?
Hail Caesar, yeah.
That looks great.
Oh, Caesar, Where Art Thou?
Ah, perfect. Anyway, it's the best, maybe one of the best Clooney things Clooney ever did.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's really, really good. And you forget how great Del Mar is. Oh, like, and that little kid at the beginning that's shooting him at the door. Here he goes, y'all from the bank? No, son, we're not from the bank. Dad said I'm supposed to shoot anybody who said they're from the bank. And then he goes, I nicked the census man last week. And Del Mar goes, now that's a good boy. It's just everything about those people.
Tim Blake Nelson is so talented, and it's funny you don't see him in more stuff. But
he should be in all things.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, that movie one of the holds best up. Things about Minority Report, right?
Oh yeah.
Or was it Vanilla Sky? I can't remember which.
No, it was Minority Report. He was in charge of all the bodies in the prison.
Right, all the prisoners. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie, and Brian Dunaway's wrong yet again.
And E. David C. says Dolph Lundgren was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, he wasn't.
That's what E. David C. is. I don't.
Where? Who?
I don't know.
I just saw it.
Oh. He's in, I'm sorry, he's in the new thing, the Hail Caesar.
Oh, well then that's fine. That's great.
That's a great reaction. Oh, that's fine.
And then D. David C. He was in the two worst Marvel movies. Wait, so I know about
Punisher.
Punisher, what else? He's not thinking of He-Man.
Nick Fury? Was he in the...
Oh, I don't know. Was he?
Anyway, we'll find out.
He'll tell us. Also in entertainment news, Making a Murderer Season 2. Looks like they've been talking to Stephen Avery for future episodes.
I don't know if they're going to get what's his name back, though.
I'm sure. They'll definitely get Ken Kratz.
Well, the outcome of the trial is maybe not exactly what we wanted as far as like an entertainment spectacle.
You know, it really could just be audio lifted from an interview. It's that good. Well, let's see. The Making the Murder filmmakers say they're already looking at future episodes. Quote, I think today marks 4 weeks since the series launch, and what we've managed to do in the past 4 weeks is to, or we've had several telephone conversations with Stephen Avery, and we did record those calls with the eye of including them in future episodes if there were to be any. Laura Ricciardi. told reporters during
I'm lost as to where in this thing. Oh, there it is right there. Ricciardi. Maybe.
Ricciardi. Okay, that's probably it.
Sure, I don't know.
She says, we've not been back to Wisconsin in the past 4 weeks, however. They describe the story as ongoing. As we've said before, quote, in relation to this story, the story is ongoing. These cases are open, but it's also real life. You don't know what's going to happen. We are ready to follow these. If there are any significant developments, we will be there, so. Maybe you'll get more. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still
I know that, you know, there's all the online petitions and stuff saying free Stephen Avery.
I'm bugged though that they didn't include the stuff about him throwing cats in the fire and
right.
buying the shackles and the stuff. He actually purchased that stuff.
Right. They touched on the whole animal abuse thing, but they really glossed over it. When you hear what he actually did, it's like, oh my God, how did they just paint that as like, oh yeah, they put a cat really close to a fire and
yeah, exactly. Like there's just those things should have been in it. I don't know why they weren't.
They ignored the whole sweat on the hood thing.
Yeah, that bugged me. Like
because there were no footprints of fingerprints of in the sweat. So they're like, well, all right, how would somebody get sweat on on the hood of a car without putting fingerprints on it?
Yeah. Not that that would have changed, altered too much about what is wrong with the process of the whole thing. It right. just still would have been a little more complete picture, but anyway.
Yeah.
Also, there's a man in the news that you'll appreciate. I don't know why I said that because you'll have no connection to this guy. But
yeah, tell me how I'd appreciate this.
I want to thank Dan on the new Slack that all the patrons have access to now for sending this article. Sperm donor says, I've fathered 800 children. An unlicensed sperm donor claims he has fathered 800 kids over the last 16 years of donating. Simon Watson, age 41. Charges 50 pounds for his services.
Oh, so he's not... Okay, so unlicensed. He's not going to a bank.
No.
He's doing this via UK Craigslist or
correct.
Whatever.
It's just okay. Some women use it as an alternative to more expensive licensed private clinics. Watson is tested for STDs every 3 months, but fertility charities warn women using such a service are putting themselves at risk for sexual and hereditary diseases. He's been doing this for, well, at least 800 times. Let's do the math. 50 pounds per time, 800 times 50. What is that?
Hold on. What, $40,000?
40,000 pounds. What's your
40,000 pounds? Yeah. Sorry.
They're roughly on par with the dollar right now, aren't they? I think so. But anyway, yeah, that's a good deal of money.
That's crazy. I'm looking at the picture of this guy. Looks like Stephen Merchant.
He looks terrible. I don't want him fathering anyone's kids. I mean, you know.
No, there is a better picture of him. He does not look like Stephen Merchant. Holy cripes.
Yeah. He looks like Stephen Merchant. A Stephen Merchant truck hit a Christopher Eccleston truck.
Right.
And out came that guy.
Right.
Oh, those poor children. Anyway, good luck to him. And then also thank you to Jennifer on Slack.
And my right arm is very tired.
Jennifer on Slack put this story up. On our Slack group, says this anti-gay rant from Colorado pastor Kevin Swanson is sort of incredible, is the headline. Brian, little close to home here. We got a anti-gay rant from a Colorado pastor. Nothing new.
I don't know where this guy is based, Kevin Swanson.
I'll bet you money it's like...
Colorado Springs.
Springs, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it always?
Usually feels like it.
Always is. All right, so here's the short of it, okay? He was discussing his actual fear of attending a hypothetical gay wedding. of his child. Like, if his kid was hypothetically gay and he had to go to the wedding, and this guy's like straight up not just anti-gay, he's terrified of gay people. Like, really, like, has an actual, like, when we say homophobia, we just kind of throw that word around.
Right.
Guy actually, well, he must be, or else why would he say something like this? And this is him up on a pulpit saying this. You ready?
All right.
At the entrance of the church. This is him going to his hypothetical gay kid's wedding.
Gay son's wedding. He does not love his big gay son.
No, he does not love his big gay son. At the entrance of the church, I'd sit in cow manure and I'd spread it all over my body.
Accurate Colorado accent.
Amen. Amen. Preach on. Those people in the background. That's what I would do, and I'm not kidding. I'm not laughing. I'm grieving. I'm mourning. I'm pointing out the problem. It's not a gay time. These are the people with the sores, the gaping sores. He then goes on to say,
it's not a gay time, like he's referencing the Flintstones or something.
Yeah, it's not a gay old time.
It's not a gay old time.
So then he goes on to say, and this is my favorite part, and I will not use one word that's in this. I will call it the P word. All right, so here you go.
No, no, no. It's okay because it's pussy.
Oh.
Like it's like something like a sword that's filled with pus.
I was going to say it the other way. I'm so glad you pointed this out.
Oh, and it's going to be, I can't wait. Hearing the sentence thinking that other word.
Yeah.
Spelled exactly the same way, but
here's what he. Well, all right,
that's hilarious.
Now so. I'll do this. I'll do this right. I can't believe I thought that's what that was. But think about it. It's much worse when you do it the way I was going to do it.
Yes, it really is.
Anyway, he says that is not a nice thing to do. Don't you dare carve happy faces on open pussy sores. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. I tell you, don't do it.
I don't know what that even means. Amen. Are people carving happy faces on open wounds?
I don't know what he's doing, but he's losing it. I think that's a bad preacher because he's not making sense. Y'all who are putting money in the bucket there, you need to demand more clarity from your pastor there.
Wow.
He's not good at it. I mean, look, have an anti-gay rant, but have it make some sense, you know? Have it be full sentences and...
I'm just thinking of what this would mean if it was the other, if the word was the other word.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's really jacked up if you look at it that way. But I'm glad we're not. We'll never look at it that way.
No.
All right. We've done all we can do with that. Guys, I'm popping in here real quick to talk about HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com. Remember we used to have these guys on quite a bit? They're back. And with a vengeance. Not really a vengeance. So the other day I got some HelloFresh in the mail. And it was amazing. I cannot say enough about how much I love that food. Some of it is still in leftovers. By the way, one of these meals came. It was this chicken pasta dish. And it said, for two. And I could easily feed five people with it. Which is great for me. Because that means that I get way more for my money. And I was able to spread that thing out and still enjoy it. And this stuff is so good. It's like I'm a gourmet cook all of a sudden. What is HelloFresh? It's a meal delivery kit service that makes cooking fun, easy, and most importantly, convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates delicious new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes or so for anyone from me, a novice, to a seasoned home cook like my wife, a very short time to make. HelloFresh resources the freshest ingredients. They're all measured to exact quantities. There's never a need to waste any of it. So good. They employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced. It's the other thing. I felt real good after I ate them. It's amazing. I can't say enough about it. I got this food. I made it. It was great. I still feel satisfied from what I ate. And you will too if you just head over to HelloFresh.com and check this thing out. I love it. Here's what you need to do. Go to HelloFresh.com and use the special offer code TMS. That's TMS when you subscribe. You get $35 off your first week of deliveries. $35, guys. That's using the code TMS at HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com and the code TMS. I love them, and you will too. take a break. When we come back, it's Stephen Schleicher time. I think Veronica time, although I haven't talked to her. But I think she is back in the Slack. Before all that, though, music, and you brought some, and what is it? What'd you bring?
I did. Juliana wrote in, said, I would like to request a song for my amazing husband, Thomas, who's a huge fan of your show. He travels over an hour to work every day, and your show keeps him in a good mood while dealing with traffic. So, thanks for keeping him entertained on his drive. We've been married for 11 wonderful years, and I was hoping you could play a song for him. Our anniversary is on the 22nd of January, so I was hoping you could play a song for him sometime this week. Our wedding song was Heaven by DJ Sammy. Would you be able to play this song? Hopefully you can find a cool remix version. He loves all music, which ranges from classic rock to dubstep. If our wedding song isn't possible, he's also a big fan of The Offspring. Hope my request is possible. Thanks, Juliana. So, and it didn't sound like from Juliana's email that she realized that Heaven by DJ Sammy is actually a cover of the song by Bryan Adams. Mm. It was like a dance version of the Bryan Adams song, which was more of an acoustic. I guess it wasn't really acoustic. It was like
just a slow rock,
a mellow, slow. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Prom dance song.
Sure.
So I went back a little further and said, all right, well, let's pick another cover of the Bryan Adams song that feels like it could be a cover at the intersection of the DJ Sammy version and the Bryan Adams version. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to me.
This is a group called The Robotanists. I've played them before. I love them. They have a 2010 album called Shapes and Variations. On there, you will find this cover of Heaven by Bryan Adams. Here are The Robotanists.
The Morning Stream, Pop Mother Effin' I.
we're back. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Welcome back. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay.
I like that version of that. That was nice.
Yeah.
As versions go, that was a strong one.
Yeah.
All right, we're heading into territory we're all familiar with, and that is territory I like to refer to as Kansas. Yeehaw! Steven Schleicher on the line. What's up?
I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone in Kansas say that.
No.
Unless it's in a joking way.
Or a movie or something, yeah.
Maybe in a movie way.
Kansas is famous for a lot of Old West stuff, right? Like they've got a...
Oh, well, I mean, if you're looking for the original Boot Hill, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people associate it with Dodge City, Kansas. It's actually right here in Hayes is the first Boot Hill. Mm. But Dodge City is a classic place that a lot of people know from
big time
movies like... you know, that one and that other one.
Well, you got a lot of Wyatt Earp business happening in Dodge City.
Well, all throughout Kansas. And I've mentioned before, Hayes is really kind of interesting if you look back into the history, because every Wild West person that you know that's famous had spent some time here, whether it be a couple of months or a couple of years before moving on to different things. So mm-hmm. if you're looking at Wyatt Earp, if you're looking at Hickok, if you're looking for Custer, I mean, they all pass through here, and there's a lot of markers and monuments about the things that they did here.
There's a lot of, that's kind of prep area for them before.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, so before, for example, Wild Bill Hickok, for those of you that watch Deadwood, interestingly enough, a Deadwood movie in the works over at HBO.
Yeah.
Hickok, before he went up to South Dakota, he was previously here in Hayes. He had just come from Abilene, which is where the guy who claims that he was shooting Hickok in defense was just at. So.
Oh, all right.
Really? So it's like he went from Abilene, Hayes, and then South Dakota, whatever. It's not Deadwood. It's
right. The other
whatever one. The city is.
I forget. Not
somebody in the chat will shout it out.
Shoot. But anyway, I love that stuff. That's history is exciting to me.
Oh yeah, it is. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, all right then. And by the way, that HBO deal, is that on HBO or is that a theater thing? Because I had heard two different stories on that.
HBO is producing very much like they did Entourage.
Yeah.
They're producing the movie for the big screen.
Okay. So we are getting a big screen, blown out, I assume same characters and actors version of Deadwood or some way of sewing
for
that.
For those that
up.
Are still available and around, yes. The crazy old guy who was in, who helped out in the hotel. I think he just recently passed.
Oh, did he? This is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl, that guy?
Not that guy, the guy that he was always picking on. The quiet guy with the beard that was carrying around like a deer antler and following around.
Right.
Really crazy. I think he just recently passed.
I think you're right. There was a story about him dying.
Yeah.
But we've got everybody else, I think,
pretty much. I mean, Ian McShane is still alive and around. And
great.
What your favorite TV show with Timothy Olyphant is over. So
He's not doing anything since Justified. He can get right up in there.
Exactly. So
Seth Bullock was his character. Who mm-hmm. and Walter White's wife?
Anna Gunn, really?
Anna Gunn was in it.
Cool. All right, I'm going to watch it.
Watch Deadwood.
Oh my gosh, you have not watched this yet, Brian?
I've never seen Deadwood.
Oh my gosh, I will pay for you to buy all the seasons on iTunes.
He has it on DVD. He has it on Blu-ray.
There's no excuse.
I know, there's really no excuse.
The only problem is, and this is a major spoiler, when the series ends, it ends on a cliffhanger, and because there's not been a cliffhanger, that's why we're getting a movie, because it just ends with this... Holy crap, someone's just going to come in and wipe out everybody.
Yeah, it sucks how it ends. But now that we're going to get a movie, they can't just pick up right where it was, though, because everybody's aged. I mean, this movie's 14 years old or something.
The interesting thing about the series is if you watch the series in order, you notice that they have time jumps in between seasons. So it's almost like a year or so has passed in between season one and season two. And I forget how much time passed between two and three. But it is interesting that they make those time jumps part of the story.
You know that guy you really like, Brian, who's in he was the funny dad in Raising Hope. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. He's usually terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Dillahunt. Dillahunt, that guy's in it. In fact, he was two characters in it.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, people forget that. It's such a good show. Oh my gosh. Oh, the guy who Wormtongue from the Lord of the Rings movies is the town doctor.
Yep.
Wow.
And he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still with us. Yeah, we got.
All right,
we got
I'm
this.
In. I'm in.
All right, you got to catch up for that movie.
Stop watching your Doctor Who, and start watching Start watching Deadwood today.
I might on March 1st or February 1st. We'll see.
Then you'll finally understand every time I say Swedgin, Swedgin. You'll understand why I'm saying that. Because right now it makes no sense.
And you can talk with the rest of
the
football
heads.
You see
that all the time.
All the time, every day.
Happy bum.
All right. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
Steve. I've never called you Steve even once.
No, I don't think so.
Steven is what I call you. Yep. Let's talk about what's happening in your world, and that would be the world of MajorSpoilers.com. Mm-hmm. This 10 Cloverfield Lane thing came out of nowhere.
It really did.
It's like Bad Robot and J.J. Abrams Production Company secretly made a sequel to Cloverfield without telling... Well, it's not really a sequel, is it?
Is it a sequel? I mean, it's really... It's like Cloverfield adjacent is how I'm describing it. A lot of people are saying it's taking place in the same, same neighborhood from the trailer. A woman wakes up inside of a bunker. It's played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
She's there with John Gallagher Jr., and they're just trying to live out their life. And inside that bunker as well is John Goodman, and he gets a little crazy. And we come to find out, maybe we try to figure out what the reason is or why they are in that bunker. Was there a nuclear explosion? Is it the Cloverfield monsters?
Mm-hmm.
The trailer just is really surprising, and it looks like it's a super low-budget film. You know, filmed in just a couple of locations. I'm guessing it was a less than 30-day shoot to get this done. But it's coming out March 15th.
I love 16th, movies like this. Love movies like this.
Oh, I'm sorry,
this.
March 11th.
Okay. Here's what makes me excited about it.
Breakfast Club in a bunker.
This is my favorite. My favorite part was finding out that, because we had all right, so let's just go back in time. Why The Last Man was being adapted to the screen. Brian K. Vaughan's fantastic comic series.
Yeah.
And hired to direct it was friend of the show, personal friend of all of ours, Dan Trachtenberg.
Right.
Formerly of the Totally Rad Show. We thought, oh, that's awesome, Dan. Good job. Way to go. And I talked to him offline a few times. We had him in Current Geek talking about it. They were super jazzed about that. And then that got put on hold, and nobody knew why. Nobody was talking. And then suddenly, this thing gets announced, and it's announced that Dan Trachtenberg is the director on the thing.
Oh, that's so cool. Really?
Yeah. This is his.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
He made a Cloverfield movie that's coming out in theaters in March. That's crazy. And you know why? It's because J.J. Abrams and those people saw his Portal movie, his Portal short film on YouTube, and went, we're doing something
Which
with this
guy. Which was amazing. Yeah.
It was incredible. The guy's super talented. So I'm so excited for him, I can barely stand it.
Now, J.J. Abrams also has something listed on his IMDb page for Portal.
Oh, does he?
Something called Portal, whether it's connected to...
I don't remember what this movie was called. It had a, you know, a hidden name, so people wouldn't catch on what it was. It may have been this one. I don't know.
It was called Portal Potty. And you went from one...
You definitely want to make sure your chemical toilets are ready in the case of a Cloverfield monster.
Don't remind me.
It says a film adaptation of video game series has been announced by J.J. Abrams.
I'll bet you money that they get Trachtenberg to direct it.
And more than likely, if that's the case, then they use this movie as his test bed because it's super low budget. It's super simple. It's in an enclosed space. Portal's kind of the same way.
Yeah.
A lot more action. So that's pretty exciting.
I like this style of filmmaking anyway. I like a place where something's happening outside. You're really never quite sure what it is. Like, leave us guessing. Lots of great character actor moment. Like, that's what I want. So I'm excited for him. It's really, really cool that he got to do that. That's coming. March, what is it again? What's the date?
March 11th.
Okay, so it's soonish.
It's like less than a month away.
This just came out of nowhere, man.
I know. Well, less than 2 months away if it's March.
Oh, March, sorry. I'm just excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Deadpool, right?
I know. That's what I'm so excited about. I can't get Deadpool out of my mind for some reason.
Yeah.
I had a weird dream last night where Deadpool showed up and he was wondering why I didn't bring him a chimichanga. So
weird.
It's just like he was very disappointed. And I was like, uh-oh.
You have high hopes for that, don't you? You're excited about that.
I'm excited about it because it is an R-rated movie. There's this petition going around. I think it's dead now. There was a petition going around to have it re-edited to be a PG-13 movie. So that this mom could take her 8-year-old son to see it. And it's just like, really? Come on. I'm very interested to see what will happen with R-rated superhero films because of the violence. And if it goes through, then there's this opportunity for movies like something based on The Boys, for example, that could easily be adapted into a movie and have that R rating. And they would know kind of what audience reaction to that would be.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So I'm very excited about this movie.
It's weird. You usually get the opposite petition when a movie or a character or something's brought to the screen where you know it needs a more adult treatment based on the source material, and people usually get ticked at it, that it was, you know, like that RoboCop movie.
Yeah. Right.
Was supposed to be R, and they had filmed it to be R, and everyone got skittish and said, well, it's got to be a little more mainstream, so let's do whatever. Mm-hmm. And I like that movie already. I know I'm one of the few who really quite liked the new RoboCop. I thought it was pretty strong. I bet it was even better when they took the gloves off a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Still, man, him standing there with just his head and his lungs, weird.
Well, you know, RoboCop, the first movie, was originally supposed to have an X rating.
Oh, really?
Because of the over-the-top violence.
Oh, wow.
And disgusting stuff that went on in there.
It was a pretty gross movie, that first
one. It was. I mean, they got it down to an R.
Yeah. When they were blowing Murphy's hands off.
Yeah.
And stuff. Because Red from That 70s Show was shooting his hands off. Wow.
And then the guy that got dosed in the nuclear waste and then got hit by the car.
Oh, yeah. And it smeared up the thing like a melted candle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who that guy is? He was on ER and he's the one that got his hand cut off by a helicopter blade. Remember that?
Dr. Romano.
Yeah. I love that he's the same guy because bad things happen to him. Never did anything good happen to that guy. He was also on the X-Files and he had cancer and he could give it to people. Or no, he would eat it. That's what it was.
Oh.
Do you remember this? So he
wasn't a liver fluke guy, was it?
Right, exactly. No, he was cancer man.
Oh, okay.
On the X-Files, yeah.
Yeah, he would suss out who had cancer. He was hiding as a paramedic, and we'd pick people up, and then he would devour their cancer or whatever.
You know, X-Files TV show coming back very soon.
Yeah, when's that? That's soon.
That is very soon. I think it's within the next, week or two.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. I'm excited for that, too. Too many good things going on, man.
Yep.
Deadwood, Brian. Deadwood.
Deadwood.
Yep.
Get on it, Brian.
Yeah. Forget all these other things.
Okay.
Do not be distracted by all this other crap we're talking about. It's all Deadwood for you. Finally, Funky has announced DC Comics Legion of Collectors. What is this?
It's Funko. Sorry, it's Funko. People that make the pop vinyl stuff.
Your thing you sent me says Funky.
Oh, sorry.
Funky.
It's all right. I like it.
Autocorrect. Yes. Yeah.
I love it. I actually prefer it, so don't go changing.
I know you're not a big subscription box fan, Scott, but the Funko has the Marvel Collector Core that comes out every other month, and now they have the DC Comics Legion of Collectors, which is essentially the same thing. You pay $150, I think, for the year, and you're getting $250 or $300 worth of merchandise over that year. You're getting six boxes. It's going to contain at least one pop vinyl, T-shirt, and a bunch of other stuff. I'm pretty pleased with the Marvel Collector Core stuff. And the first box, which comes out in March, in time for the Batman v Superman movie, includes a pop vinyl of Batman all dressed up in his Batman armor as he gets ready to take on Superman. So if people are interested in that, you can sign up now. I think there's like 20 days or something left to sign up if you want to get in on the March order.
Yeah. Well, I like these things. I don't get them all. That's the thing that I don't like. I understand. For me, it'd be like, oh, I'll get the one, and then I just don't know how you afford having like five of these a month, and there's so many to choose from.
It does add up. And then there's some weird ones out there. Loot Crate is now doing Pet Crate, I think, for people who have animals and want to get their animals a present every month.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's weird. So how about, I guess, well, it's fine, whatever your fandom is, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of the nice things about these subscriptions, especially something like the Legion of Collectors, the Marvel Collector Corps, is the pop vinyl is exclusive at first. Mm-hmm. So when Marvel launched theirs, it was the Hulkbuster pop vinyl that everyone was looking forward to. This one's got the Batman one. Those may or may not show up in the stores later on. So if people are pop vinyl fans, this may be something they want to jump on.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good to see DC, keeping up with the Joneses there.
Yeah, right.
It feels like that's what they do sometimes.
That's kind of right, but at the same time, it seems like Funko tested this with Marvel for a year, which it's almost been a year, and then they're like, hey, we need to fill the other 6 months up with stuff, so why don't we get on the DC bandwagon? Because I'm pretty sure, I'm gonna have to look, but I'm pretty sure that now 1 month you'll get Marvel, the next month DC.
Oh, really?
And they'll alternate back and forth.
So they're changing, because it used to be quarterly on the Collector's Core stuff.
I thought those were every other month.
Are they?
No,
I think they were.
I have them.
Are you sure?
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to double check, but I thought that was every other month.
Well, if it's every other month, then you know who wins here. Funko's winning.
Yeah, they do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody.
If only DC would follow suit now and say, okay, well, now we need something like Marvel Unlimited. We need online comics.
Yeah.
Well, there you go then. Fantastic news for DC fans and Funko fans and for Funko Incorporated. Steven, always fun, always great to hang out and chat. What anything on the site going on people should be pointing their eyes at?
Well, how about this? How about we do a plug for our friend Rodrigo Lopez? He had his brand new first book released last week. It's called The Tale of Tallest Rabbit. You can go check it out at Amazon. It's a young reader's book.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's about a girl who lands in a magical world of rabbits and storytelling. So you can go check it out. It's The Tale of Tallest Rabbit, Rodrigo Lopez. Go check it out over at Amazon.
That's awesome. Yeah. I need to get him on Current Geek to talk about that. I think that would be really fun. Will you maybe, well, I think I was emailing.
I'll just reach out to him.
Reach out to him and just poke him and just say, hey, Scott mentioned this to me and have him get with me because I would love to have him talk about that.
Here's the good thing. The book went to number one in the UK and Canada in the children's books, and it broke the top 500 in all of Amazon's books when it was released last week.
Good Lord.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
We had a major drive with all of our critical hit listeners and other people, so...
Right on.
They did a good job.
Well, congrats to him. And I very much want to talk to him about that. I think that would be fun. It's Steven Schleicher. Major spoilers on Twitter. Steven, take it easy.
We'll talk to
you later.
See you.
Bye now.
Yeah, it looks like was quarterly. Now it is bi-monthly, which is cool.
Oh. Was quarterly.
Was quarterly. When it was introduced, it was quarterly for the first...
makes sense. They're experimenting. They're
18 seeing, months or whatever, yeah.
Seeing what people are willing to do. You know?
Right. Right.
Are they willing to spend their money on more things or not? And if they are, by gum, we should take advantage of them. That's what I say. All right, what are we doing here? Oh, we're doing this. Likely still getting the Vegas dust off of her from her whirlwind tour of CES a couple of weeks ago. It's Veronica Belmont on the line. Hello, Veronica.
Hello. Happy Monday.
Oh, happy Monday to you. Are you all, you're recovered and over all that now, right?
I feel like new garbage, though. I'm fine from CES, but now I feel like a whole brand new version of garbage today. So we'll see.
2016 Yay. Garbage is the best kind of garbage.
I'm super happy about that.
You worked your butt off and you were there a lot longer than most of the other people I associate with, and I couldn't figure out why. I guess you had commitments, but you were there a lot more.
I wasn't there because I was having fun.
No,
that's not. Yeah, I wasn't just gambling it up.
Yeah. You're famous for not loving the city of Vegas. I don't know.
Am I?
Yeah, you always hear this about you. You always hear this about Veronica that she doesn't really like Vegas very much. But you,
I don't. I feel bad because I feel like it's probably, if you live there and do things other than come for CES, it's probably a wonderful city.
Yeah.
But I'm only ever there for conferences and trade shows, so I'm only ever on the Strip.
Yeah.
And I do try to make the most of it by going out to a couple of nice dinners, usually by myself, because the restaurants are amazing and there's so many great chefs.
Yeah, they're the best. Brian, did you eat anywhere good last week when you were this weekend?
We did. Oh, yeah. Went to we went to Mon Ami Gabi in
I did too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that place. And where did we go?
Crazy Horse Saloon, no?
Oh, no. When, Fred and it went to Cina Poblano in Cosmopolitan.
Me
which
too.
Is
oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is my new favorite spot.
Yes. Did you do the tasting menu?
I was just there by myself, so I ate at the bar, and I couldn't eat enough. Like, there's so many good choices.
But
I got full really fast, so I'm glad I didn't do the tasting, because I wanted to kind of go to bed pretty early. But yeah, I had amazing. I had like sesame noodles, I had a fish taco, and I had a big thing of queso fundido.
That sounds great. Yum. Oh my gosh, that sounds good
stuff.
It's Chinese food, like dim sum style, and also Mexican food.
Mexican influenced, yeah. Really cool combination. It works really well there. The tasting menu does a lot of small plate stuff, so you get like a little taste of this and a little taste of that. But,
so wait, where is this? What's this place called?
It is like 14 courses.
It's in the Cosmo.
In the Cosmo. It's not. Yeah. And what's it called? China what?
China Poblano.
Oh, that's weird. What a weird combo.
Yeah.
Please tell me it's a nice Chinese lady who met a nice Mexican man and they got together and said, you know.
The story is actually about, there is a story and it's written on the menu, but it's kind of about... Like, I don't know. What? I can't remember.
I don't know it at all. So
we're relying on. Here.
There is a cute story.
Well, I like cute stories. I'm big fans of that. Well, all right then. Veronica, it's good to have you on. And we always have her on when we can, except for on CES weeks, to talk about video games and the world of thereof. What's going on this week? What's happening?
This is actually from last week, but did you guys talk about Sony wanting to trademark Let's Play?
No, we should talk about this because my first reaction is, who are they? What smoke or what crack are they smoking? That's the most like weird thing to try to, this stage of the game anyway, to try to trademark that.
So obviously there is an extensive history of Let's Play videos and people calling them that since even before YouTube. So clearly a bit of prior art coming into this thing. Yep. But I think as IGN kind of posits, they think that because they're doing Let's Play stuff on PSN for streaming, that perhaps they're trying to prevent other consoles from using that term in regards to what they have on their menus. Mm. So that's the thing that makes the most sense. Like, clearly, if they did this, I mean, Microsoft owns Halo. Mm-hmm. They have a trademark for Halo, mm-hmm. but people can say the word Halo in other contexts and uses. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not that big of a deal, and they're not really enforcing that kind of thing.
I think it'd be great if Beyonce had to pay Microsoft money every time. Is it her that has that Halo song?
Okay. There's a song called Halo, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be kind of awesome.
She's got to pay like a Master Chief fee.
That's the only thing that would keep them going financially.
But with the Microsoft thing, Microsoft trademarking Halo, you can't come out with another game and call it Halo. And that would be the thing with these Let's Play videos is that it would be another video called a Let's Play video, but PlayStation would say, I can't call it that.
Well, you could.
You're 100% right.
In theory, couldn't you come out with another game called
Watch Me Play or something like
the
that?
The Halo of Zontar or the Angel's Halo of Moons or some stupid name.
Oh, yeah.
You could do that, right? Because you could contextually change that enough. But yeah, I don't know why they would say, like, saying they could copyright Let's Play suddenly would put them in a legal position to go after 98% of YouTubers who are playing video games, including people like PewDiePie and other multi-million follower accounts. Like,
I kind of wonder if they just tried to do it to see if they could. Apparently, there's a non-final action was submitted against the trademark, which means that it seems like it's probably doomed. Mm. You know, probably just because it's too common a term, as IGN says. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'd be very, very surprised if this happened. But it's also just kind of ballsy that they're trying to do it in a way. It's like, really, guys?
Well,
like,
maybe Sony's feeling it, man. They just got these new numbers out that says they were the number one selling console for all of the holidays and all of 2015. Mm-hmm. And they're at, 38 million install base. They've dwarfed everyone else in the race. Maybe they're starting to feel some of that hubris again. Mm-hmm. Where
perhaps.
Yeah, somebody in the main office is like, all
right. Do anything.
That's right. Copyright words now. This is how we will control the world.
Trademark is different from copyright.
That's true. Good point. Yeah.
Says the Tom Merritt in my head.
Yeah. You know, I sounded like him for a second there. I was a little worried that perhaps he was channeling
it. Well, actually, Scott, that's not what I don't think I could do a good Tom Merritt impersonation.
That was actually a pretty good start, though.
Actually, Scott. But I have to, I got to practice that. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Well, you spend enough time around him. It's hard not to when you've spent as much time around Tom as you have. And
I'd be more interested to hear his imitation of me.
Oh, my gosh. Who do I pay to get this done?
30 seconds on Bitcoin, by the way, for that.
Anytime. Right. Anytime you do Tom, part of the trademark is you have to talk about Bitcoin and why it's not as stupid as people think it is.
Okay.
That's your job. Well, that's interesting. We'll see how it all plays out. My guess is that'll never happen and no one will ever be able to do it. If anyone has a right to that, it's not them, I don't think.
Yeah.
But this
not
is,
them.
But exactly. Consoles often do this, though. Like, a lot of what, you know, is born on a PC, whether it be games or culture around those games, they happen and suddenly, consoles are now adopting this 2-3 years later. They try to own it in a way that they look like they literally own it. Maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe the console market is more naive. Like, it's a lot more people who aren't tied into where mods began or whatever on PCs. They don't understand any of that. They just know that DLC is what it is. Back in the day, we'd call that free Quake downloads or free Quake maps. But in the console world, it's paid for Call of Duty stuff and season passes. Like, they take the stuff that was innovated somewhere else, put their own spin on it, and then charge for it in a way that PC games don't. So maybe that's what this is. I don't know. But good luck to them.
Good luck. Yeah, I feel like it's just a team of lawyers somewhere was like, let's try.
Yeah.
What do we got to lose other than goodwill towards our
trademark? Let's try.
That's a really good point. Nothing to lose except for the respect of your player base.
There you go.
Veronica Ann Belmont, always up to no good. What's happening? Anything you'd like to mention? What's going on?
Sure. I want people to follow me on Snapchat. I'm obsessed with Snapchat right now.
Whoa.
And so my username is just Veronica Belmont, one word. My name.
I'm hearing this a lot lately. Everybody I know is suddenly all up in Snapchat. Like, Tom's doing things.
Yeah, it's Eileen. Eileen did it to me when we were in Hawaii.
What's,
she got super into it. And
but
so
what
now
changed?
Hooked.
Because what I saw the other day did make me happy. It was you with one of those weird filters. I can't remember what you were doing, though.
I was doing the sleepy Z's. You open your mouth and the little Z's come out and you make like a sleepy face. It's
cute. Yeah, those filters are weird. All right, I just noted, I just feel like Snapchat's about to make some kind of weird mainstream back, you know, not comeback because it never really went anywhere, but it's now out of the purview of like tweens.
Yeah,
and people who
the olds have found it.
The olds have found it, and the
look
tweens,
out! The olds found something.
The tweens aren't happy. They're off to
using
WeChat.
Using your internets now.
Yep,
instantly makes it not cool for the tweens.
Yeah, they're not gonna like it anymore. Anyway, well, that's good. Veronica Belmont on Snapchat. Everybody follow stories over there is what they call them.
A story. Like, also, I learned I was real mad because people were taking screen grabs of my stories.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's bad. I'm going to ban you. Mm-hmm. And then someone was like, no, no, that's a compliment when it's about your story because that's already public. And I was like, oh, I didn't understand that. Okay, unban.
Yeah, no, it's only bad if it's, you know, some guy showing off his junk and then you Snapchat that. That's when it's bad.
That's bad for everyone.
Yeah.
It's bad all around.
It's bad all around. Veronica on Twitter, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right. It's nice to talk to V.
Follow me on Peach.
Peach. Oh, yeah. What's this Peach app I keep hearing
about? No idea.
Do you keep hearing about it, too?
Yeah.
And
somebody said, well, I don't understand. It sounds like all you have to do is just create a social network and you make the money. I'm going to create one called Peach.
Yeah.
I don't know what its gimmick is. What's unique about
Peach?
I think
you just smack people in the face or something, or some kind of like, I've been peached, or I've been poked in the face on Peach or something. Oh, yeah, nice. I don't know, dude.
Now all of a sudden I like it.
People are mad at me for using Face Swap. Imagine what they're going to say when I use Peach.
I know. Anyway. The Face Swap backlash.
Ryan and I use it as our private joke machine.
Yeah, and exactly.
You guys will never see half that stuff. So
nope.
Feel bad because you should. All right. Let's take it out of here with a couple of emails. We got one from Josh. His name is Josh. We're going to take him at his word.
Okay.
First of all.
I see no reason not to believe him.
Yeah, no. On the surface, this all seems fine. If it changes, look, Josh, it's on you. First of all, congrats with successfully predicting Mad Max as a nominee for Best Picture, says Josh. It's important to note that Josh said that, not me.
Right.
What I don't understand... Oh, by the way, there's a guy on Twitter who's super ticked that I'm being told that I can't talk about a movie I love. He's like, genuinely mad. And I said, well, it's complicated because now... First of all, it's just all in good fun. Second of all, now there's this charity tied to it.
Right. So now it's a good thing. Now it's a beneficial thing to people, so...
But he's crying censorship. He thinks I should be able to say whatever I want.
Oh, jeez.
We agree that we should be able to say whatever we want, but this is a special weird case, okay?
Man's name is Imperator Joe.
That's right. Imperator Joe!
Imperator Joe, sorry.
Is it Imperator? No, wait. Joe. What was his name? Immortan Joe.
Sorry, Immortan Joe. I was mixing up Furiosa's.
Right? Oh, yeah, she was Imperator Furiosa.
Yes.
Furiosa?
Furiosa.
All right. Where are we here? He says, what I don't understand is why are all these awards so important? If you like a movie character, actress, or whatever, why does it matter if they win an award? Does it give people some kind of satisfaction knowing that they're that they like the same thing as snooty, artsy people? My point is that if you like something, just like it and don't give a shit about what others tell you is good. Love the show, though. Josh. Well, Josh, you could say that, but why do we have anything for anything?
Like, well, yeah, but it's a good point. I mean, you know, just because you like something, that should be enough. But there is kind of a satisfaction you get when something you like is acknowledged by award groups and critics and things like that to say, this is a really good thing.
I agree.
It's kind of a self-validation thing.
I totally agree. It's like anything else. It's like when you're a little kid and you make a sandcastle, right? And that's enough that you enjoyed making it. And it looks cool and everything, but an adult comes by and says, oh, that's such a cool sandcastle. Now you've got validation. Now your sandcastle isn't just cool to you. It's cool to somebody else. Therefore, maybe my sandcastle is rad. It wasn't just me. Other people also like my sandcastle. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's in humans to want this. So what you're asking is, why is there a built-in evolutionary tendency to need validation is what you're asking. And I think we just described why.
I think so.
Dear something witty about the bearded one and the bald one.
The bearded one.
Am I the bearded one? I guess I am.
You have to be, yeah.
Well, you have a beard. It's just more coiffed and kept.
But I guess my baldness overshadows my beardedness.
Your beardness and baldness together at last.
Always against each other.
Yeah, always fighting.
Always fighting.
Yep. Dear something... Okay, I did that. I have a different take on the topic of spoilers and specifically Star Wars-related spoilers. I guess we've been talking about that some. Because of lots of crap in life, I didn't get to see the movie until yesterday morning. I have listened to all TMS episodes since it was released and heard you guys tap dance around spoilers. I definitely picked up on some things here and there, but certainly no true spoilers. The most importantly, I think I enjoyed the movie even more because of throughout the movie, as things unfolded, I had these flashback moments of things you guys had touched on without spoiling. I appreciate the care you guys take in not spoiling things, but know that, at least in my opinion, the verbal work made for... that verbal work made for an even more enjoyable movie experience for me. Love the show, Clint. What you say supports the science. And if Corinne's listening, she would also tell you this. Corinne is adamantly... She hates the culture of spoilers.
Right. She hates, right, that there's an anti culture against spoilers.
Yes. And the reason she does is she points, and I don't have links to it right now or could bring it up, but you can find this stuff online. But there's some science, some studies that actually suggest spoilers make the experiences better for us, whether we know it or not. Mm-hmm. And so my guess is even just the little tidbits we danced around, which didn't really spoil anything, added to your experience, because in the end they do actually add to the experience. Now, some people will adamantly say no to that. They don't want to be spoiled on a thing. I'm also the believer that I can't just walk up to you and go, have you seen Star Wars yet? No. Oh, guess what happens? Right. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I can't do that.
There's a couple different... The way I analyze it, there's a couple different kinds of spoilers. There's the spoiler that you don't know is a spoiler until you see it in the movie. Mm-hmm. For example, I could say that's not how the Force works, right? And that's not a spoiler.
Nope.
Because, you know, it'll be relevant to those who've seen the movie, but it doesn't give somebody something who hasn't seen the movie. It doesn't say, oh, well, now I just have to watch for this scene where the Force doesn't work and I'll know that that's what Brian was talking about. Whereas if I was to say, Bruce Willis was dead the whole time in The Sixth Sense. Well, all right, there's a spoiler.
Yeah.
So there's two different kinds of it. There's the ones where you're spoiling something that people can know from the get-go and look for, and then there's the spoiler of the thing that they don't know, that won't be relevant or won't even make sense until that thing happens.
Right.
And I like the latter a lot better. I like the one... You know, those things that you don't pick up on until after you've seen them. And that's happened to me with shows that people watch and they're like, oh, yeah, you got to watch for such and such. And as soon as that happens, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, that I don't mind. I think that does enhance the experience.
I totally agree. But when someone's being mean spirited about a spoiler and just shoving it in your face, like I had this guy I worked for. Oh, my gosh, dude, this has been long enough. I can bring this up because both the movies and the books have been out forever. But in the Harry Potter series, right?
Yes. Yeah, we can definitely spoil Harry Potter.
When Dumbledore died, that was a big deal. We'd just gotten the book. I had just purchased it the night before. It had come out. We went to a midnight pickup of the book. I rarely ever did that, ever.
Right.
So I went to a midnight book buying thing. Oh, this really makes me look like a wiener. But anyway, I went and did that. I go to the office the next day. This is like, what was that, 06 or something? 07 maybe. I go to the office the next day, and as soon as I walk in, my boss at the time sees that in my arm I have a big hard copy of that book, the new Harry Potter book, Where Dumbledore Dies. I don't know any of this, of course.
Of course, right.
I walk in and he down the hall sees it and goes, hey, Dumbledore dies. Now that's just being a dick.
That is being a dick. It totally is being a dick.
Right? Like that's not even like...
It's not even funny because it's just you and him.
Right.
So... there's nobody around who also knows the spoiler to say, oh, come on, that's hilarious, but you're a dick.
And here's the truth. The science of it is I probably still enjoyed it maybe even more because now that I knew that, as bluntly as I was informed, I still really enjoyed the journey to get there and find out why and who and what, right? Like that still had to be a thing that happened that I still really enjoyed and I loved that book. But there's two things going on here. One is the human need to treat each other decently. Mm-hmm. And when we don't do that, that pisses us off.
Right.
And then the other is, spoilers don't really matter that much. But the two make it seem, when you have those two combined, when someone's a dick and you're being spoiled, it makes it seem like the world's ending. So bottom line is, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, way to boil it down to its bare essence.
That's right. Just a little glop of goo in the bottom of the hot plate there.
Perfect.
Clint, thank you for your email. And good luck in your future films that you may still direct, even though you're 85. Oh, this isn't Clint Eastwood. I'm sorry. Moving on. Let's get out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us. You help the show live and breathe. And thanks to you, there's now this Slack group where patrons can go and hang out and talk and chat and be a part of one another's lives. And people are going crazy in there, and I love it. So head on over there to patreon.com/TMS. A couple of giveaways happen in there, I am told by Dave, maybe book-related, that only they would have had access to. So there's always a chance of rad things happening on the random and the regular at patreon.com/TMS. Thank you all so much for your support. We are at frogpants.com/TMS. The email address to use to contact us like Clint and that Josh guy did is themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. 801-471-0462 is our phone number. Find us on Twitter at Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morningstream. And if you're a Redditor, frogpants.reddit.com. And again, we are taking story submissions both there and on the Slack for anything you might want to hear on the show. If it's interesting and fits our news cycle, please feel free to post them in there. Brian, that's it.
All right.
Why don't we sing now? No, let's not sing. Let's play a song where someone else does. It's fine.
Well, that's what I had queued up. I had karaoke stuff queued up. Do I need to find something else really
quick?
Yeah,
real fast. As fast as you can.
All right. Okay. I've got something. All right. Okay. Pull this out of my butt right here.
All right.
So, right, CJ Boat. Tomorrow, January 19th, I'm going to the hospital for weight loss surgery. That's right, folks. At Dragon Con, I'm going to be all sorts of hot. Wow. I think anytime anybody goes to Atlanta, they're all sorts of hot. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear something rocking that is normally rocking. Your choice, my friend. But I trust you. If anyone wants to send any well wishes, please call 727-489-4335 and leave a voicemail.
What?
Exactly. gonna love the sleeve, though. It's CJ, a.k.a. Drago Sky.
Do you really give people his phone number to call? Yes. Okay, I'm just making sure I didn't just dream that just now, or he just gave out his number
publicly?
No, you
post this anywhere and everywhere, people.
All right.
That number again is 727-489-4335.
Wow.
All right. So, CJ Boat's going to be going under the knife for weight loss surgery here. And I was trying to find a good song. I was thinking maybe the Beatles, Carry That Weight, right? Mm. But I did want to kind of go along that line of, like, you know, losing, taking a load off.
Mm-hmm.
And the band came up, and their song The Weight. This cover was a bonus track on the Weezer's Red album, special edition, expanded, whatever. And it's a great cover of the song. Here are Rivers Cuomo and Company with their cover of The Band's The Weight.
Do you get mad when bands call themselves like The Band or Yes. Live?
Yes, or the.
Yeah, I hate it.
Well, they did all this stuff before there was an internet, and I think once you think about things and you're like, oh man, what a dumb name. Now no one's ever going to be able to find the on the internet.
I think it's the reason no one cares about Live anymore. It's just too
right.
Who's that? Live? What?
That's right.
What does it mean? It sounds like you're an idiot when you answer questions like that. Right. So don't do that anymore, bands.
Don't do that. No.
All right. Here it is. It's The Weight. And we'll be back tomorrow with more weighty conversation here on The Morning Stream.
Take a load off, Fanny.
said, do me a favor, son, and won't you stay and keep Annalie company? Take a load off Annie. Take a load for free. Take a load off Annie. And you put the load right on me. Crazy chest to follow me. And he caught me in the fog. He said, I will fix your rack if you'll take Jack, my dog. I said, wait a minute, sister, you know I'm a peaceful man. He said, that's okay, boy, won't you feed him when you can?
Network. Get more at frogpants.com.